Blog Talk Radio.
The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes.
Tubes. Hello.
Are you talking, Amanda?
I am talking.
Hello and welcome to Indie InnerTube, your home for all that is hot and streaming in the world of online independent entertainment. Today is January 30th.
Yes, it is.
We are live and this is show number...
I knew you were going to ask that.
And yet one would think you would be ready.
No. I was ready for Sunday. That was episode 63. Mm-hmm. Yep. I know this, I think this is 142. Let me see. I'm checking. 143. I was close. I was off by one. 143. Yeah.
Episode 143. How is everybody doing? It's been a while.
I'm sick.
Yeah. She's already sick.
I'm getting sick.
So y'all have a hell of a bunch hosting your show today. Yeah. So how's everybody doing? Again, I say hello. We're glad to be back.
That was, are you clapping because we're back?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I am. Do you have any birthdays, Amanda?
Because
there have been tons of them.
You want, like, all of them, or you want...
You got to run some down.
Facebook
run
is not
down.
Not an appropriate thing. Holy crap. You want me to run them all down since when? Like, December? I was going to say, I don't think I go back that far. La, la, la. Okay, hold on. Jim Lauterbach's birthday was the 3rd of January, along with Frank Tikopoulos of Guiding Light, if anyone remembers. Jesse Warren's birthday was January 4th. We all know him from The Bannon Way and other fantastic, fantastic things. Danny Carey's birthday was on the 7th. Susan Lee Sturr's birthday was on the 7th. I'm looking. Do, 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 do. You're being an ass. That's why there's dead air. Karen's birthday was on the 15th. Yes, it was. And Julianne Emery's birthday was on the 16th. Oh, look at that. Drew Baldwin's birthday was on the 19th. Let's see. Who else? Do, do, do. Brian Lerner's birthday was on the 22nd. Okay, that's awesome for you, except I don't have that on my fucking Facebook, okay? So I can't say that. Don't be an ass from the other room if I forget one or if I don't have it listed. You told me to run them down, I'm running them down. Guess what? There's a birthday that I don't have, but you and I are both aware of, that happened this past Sunday, and that would be Darren from Bloody Mary. Oh, snap. See? See? What? What? I said, we're done. I did. Steve Silverman's birthday was the 24th. Did you know that? Did you know that? Jason Brazier's birthday was the 26th. Look at that. I was on the 20th when you were interrupting me. But Darren, his birthday was the 27th. Marty Restigini's birthday was the 28th. God, everyone's born in January. Yep, and that's all I got. You have more? Devin Green's birthday is tomorrow.
Yeah.
I can't hear you.
Yeah.
Aw, see, don't switch off your mic. Okay, you have to fill when I cough.
You're not very nice.
What?
You're not very nice.
What's wrong?
You're not a nice person when you're when you're sick.
Oh, so now I'm not a nice person?
Not when you're sick.
How am I not a nice person? So now I can't, really? I can't even do, wow, okay. Well, you know what? I'll just shut off my mic.
No.
Then you can do the show if I mean. Then I was just playing around. I thought we were having fun. Nope.
You were giving me the face. And I'm really desperately trying hard not to sneeze.
Well, that's not my problem. Bless you. You're not going to sneeze now. You're not going to sneeze now.
It's not easy.
Not going to sneeze. No? Don't do it.
Do you have any news?
I thought I was being mean. Wow, we are a pair today. I can't even breathe or talk for more than 10 minutes at a time before coughing.
You can't breathe. But you had news, so why don't we share it?
I have news? I do?
Yeah.
What news was that? I forgot. What news?
You were just talking about it. You were just updating our website. Should we just, like, kill the show today?
No. What is wrong with you? Why are you being rude? Don't be rude. Don't be rude. Why would you do that? Why would you suggest that?
Justin Marcher just put up a new webcomic today at fantasyhospital.com.
There you go. See? There's some news. Look at that. Gosh. What's going on over there?
That? Let's hit the news.
April, I have to bring it up.
Okay, well, why don't you do that?
Well, Phil, while I do that, good Lord. No?
No.
Because you can't speak. No? I can give you some news that I saw online that has nothing to do with web series. But
sweet, why don't you do that?
Wow. Interesting. Yeah, they're making Bram Stoker's Dracula into a serial. On NBC. Yup. It's going to be Jonathan Rhys Meyers and Katie McGrath. What is the matter with you?
I can't breathe, so, you know, good show.
You're so much fun. Trying to think of what else. What else? Well, okay, let's talk about a transmedia project because it was in mention today or in the past week because of Video Game Awards and certain other things that are coming about for last year. Defiance, Sci-Fi's new series. And video game and possible web compliment. I don't know. They haven't moved on to that part yet. However, what do you – I can't even ask you questions. You can't talk. It's very hard to run the show. So what do you guys as the audience feel? Like, would Sci-Fi sort of dabble into that massive transmedia project? Because not only are they doing a show, but they're doing an MMO. And I think there's also the possibility of them doing graphic novels and or a novel series as well as web vignettes or web content that plays directly into their show. The only other cool thing that I know about it is that they have I can't even remember the actress's name who played H.G. Wells on Warehouse 13, isn't it?
Jamie Murray.
Yes, Jamie Murray. That's right. They're also making a Barbarella TV show. I heard about that, but I haven't. I heard about that like.
Well, you know,
a year ago,
that Yahoo's Ben Stiller web series Burning Love.
Yes, it's
going
to TV.
It's going to E.
But see,
they've edited it into 7 30-minute episodes that premiere on February 25th.
Yeah. And I heard about that, but see, to me, that's not, I mean, okay, it's great that a web series is going to television. That's awesome. But you know what the problem is with that whole article? Yahoo and Ben Stiller. It's another leapfrog device for another actor, just like Lisa Kudrow. I feel.
Well, Ben Stiller's the executive producer.
Yes, he is the executive producer. And if it was Joe Bob, your uncle, as the executive producer, do you still feel it would be going to TV?
Well, no, I don't believe it would have the production value that it has. If it wasn't Ben Stiller.
Right. which, again, I think it's great. Nothing against it. I think it's great. I've seen a very little bit of it. It doesn't fly in my fancy of shows that I would watch continuously. I think it is a nice thing that there are web series being considered for television. However, they're not the ones that I feel should be considered for television. I don't know. You remember Arrow? The one that won all the claims and all that stuff. They're apparently expanding to 22 cities now. This is a freaking train. Arrow is a train. If you're not familiar with Arrow, they basically have figured out a way to provide free TV, cable, and whatnot to the viewer over a device that they've created. And they're an internet-backed or an internet company, and they are basically challenging cable and satellite television services by offering inexpensive live television online plans. And initially, they started in New York City, and they're going to expand to 20 more cities, including Detroit. I don't know why that's such a big thing, unless it's really hard to get there. Their data center's in Brooklyn. And basically, a court decided that what they were doing was not illegal, and it was not undermining the corporates. And I mean, every Fox, ABC, NBC, CBS, all of them got into a lawsuit against them and lost. It's very interesting because they say for average monthly TV bills exceeding $75, and I'm like, whose TV bill exceeds $75? But then I'm like, oh, wait, ours does. But we have internet included. Arrow offers a cheaper alternative for $8 a month. And you get 29 over-the-air stations, and you can watch shows live and record up to 20 hours using Arrow's internet-based digital video recorder. Subscribers get 40 hours of DVR space for a $12 a month fee and can reduce this to less than $7 by paying for a year in advance. So, the downside to Arrow so far is they don't offer cable channels like CNN, HBO, ESPN, and regional sports networks, with the exception of Bloomberg TV, which we all know they're a financial news channel, and they reached a deal with Arrow and paid them an unspecified fee in order to showcase Bloomberg TV. So I'm going, if the financial dudes are in, y'all might want to get off the high horse and do what Arrow's doing. Or get behind it. Anyway, the 22 cities that were announced in Las Vegas were Atlanta, Austin, Baltimore, Birmingham, Boston, Chicago, Cleveland, Dallas, Denver, Detroit, Houston, Kansas City, Madison, Miami, Minneapolis, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Providence, Rhode Island, Raleigh, Durham, Salt Lake City, Tampa, and Washington. So, they estimate that their servers will reach nearly 100 million potential customers.
So there's a new show coming that I think is really reaching for new heights as far as transmedia. Shut your mic off.
I can't.
As far as transmedia goes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Canadian show, but it's already been picked up by ABC to air in the summer of 2013. So it's going to be a mid-season replacement in the U.S.
Mid-seasons are always so good.
It's premiering in Canada on CTV on February 3rd following the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting about the show, it's called Motive. And it's an unconventional crime show. Each episode begins by revealing not only the victim but the killer.
Oh.
So it's not really... It's not a whodunit. It's a why.
It's why they did it?
Yeah.
That's an interesting turn.
And it's a question that will be faced by a Vancouver homicide detective named Angie Flynn, and she starts to piece together the clues from the crime. How are the victim and the killer connected? What's the motive? And the audience is going to navigate a complicated maze of clues right alongside the detective.
Huh.
Now, the interesting thing about this show... besides the fact that it has some really great people in the cast, including Lauren Holly, Roger Cross, Louis Ferreira, and Kristen Lehman, who's playing the lead. you know, it's got a great cast, is that they are launching a web series right along with the main series. So the main series premieres on February 3rd, right after the Super Bowl on CTV. And in March of 2013, March of this year, an original 8-part web series is going to launch as a companion to the show, and it's going to take the audiences deeper into the world of the show. Through the course of the web series, a cold case that's long forgotten is going to come to light, and the results will be unexpected, and it will play into the main show. And the web series is supported by the Bell Fund and CTV. So I think that is really interesting, that they are launching a web series along with the main show, which I think is pretty damn awesome. I think we're seeing a lot of really interesting things being done by Canadian television in regards to transmedia shows like Lost Girl and Continuum and now Motive. And that's pretty amazing. I think a lot of U.S. television shows could really benefit from having companion web series launched right away. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Motive and how that works with them. And I'm going to put that link up into the chat room and see how that works, because I think it's really, really interesting what they're trying to do. CTV has done a lot of stuff, as has City TV in Canada, and of course they also have the Independent Production Fund in Canada. So there's a lot of funding for shows and ability for shows to get and be part of funding and to find an audience. So I'm really intrigued by the fact that they're launching this web series right alongside the show as it launches. I think it'll be an interesting experiment, and I think it's going to do really, really well. Girl Play, the lesbian web series, has launched its first episode. And there is, you know, an interesting thing happening. We're seeing a lot more web series references on Tumblr. I think if you guys don't have a Tumblr, you need to. You got to get out there and use every platform that is available to you to get your show out there and in front of an excited, engaged audience. Not sure where Amanda went. And I'm not sure how many Canadians are in our chat room right now, but a few, I'm sure, or people who are aware of Canadian shows. But I think this Motive is really, really, really going to be interesting, and I think you guys are going to want to keep your eye on what they're doing. Now, Stephanie Thorpe has a new show coming called SlumberCon. It's The View for nerds. And they're going to be, you know, in their jammies having a slumber party, chatting geek news, entertainment, crafts, food, and style. So it's going to be kind of cool, I think. It's going to be hosted by Stephanie Thorpe and Jennifer Landa. And we're not sure when it's coming, but it's coming soon. They have a promo up.
Which we should show on
Sunday. And we'll be showing that on Sunday, and it's called SlumberCon, and you can find it on YouTube. Tune into our show on Sunday to see that.
Like, because who doesn't want to hang out with Stephanie Thorpe and friends in PJs discussing nerd stuff? I know I do. We're fun. Yay.
Is there any other news you want to share?
Let me see. I don't know. I'm waiting for my inbox to show me that Cater Productions is premiering their show. Ladies and gents and our below decks. Waiting, y'all. Where's it at? Come on. You can sneak peek it to me. It's okay. I promise I won't share until you tell me I can't share. No? No. I don't think so.
Why don't you share the My Damn Channel news?
The My Damn Channel news? Oh, crap. Which one was that?
Check your Skype to remind you.
Oh, that one.
There you go.
Yes. Because I was like, wait. Okay. My Damn Channel is launching a multi-channel YouTube network for comedy, which I think is genius, personally. The studio network behind Daily Grace, My Damn Channel Live, You Suck at Photoshop, and Wayne Days, hopes to dramatically up their own viewer statistics by bringing more quality programming into their fold. Founder and CEO Rob Barnett, who is an awesome dude, by the way, just announced the launch of the My Damn Channel Comedy Network, a multi-channel MCN. I like that we're not calling it MCNs. That's cool. Network that will expand My Damn Channel's library to hundreds of comedy programs distributed across several YouTube channels and on MyDamnChannel.com. Daily Grace.
Now, the interesting thing about this is that the new director of programming and acquisitions for My Damn Channel Comedy Network is Eric Mortensen, who you might know from Blip. He's going to manage, curate, and program the expanding network along with Barnett, Warren Chow, and Molly Templeton, and others. I think it's a great idea.
David Kaplan.
I think it's a great idea.
Me too. I mean, you're making a network within a network. Right?
Right.
And I mean, kudos to them. I'll say it. Their biggest pull is Daily Grace. You know? I mean, that's... And in order... I mean, yay. But they put her and Beth Hoyt, who do My Damn Channel Live, they did an exposition promo to explain the origins of the network and dish out some of the basic facts about why you should join and all of that. And, hey, if you guys are making comedy and it's awesome and it fits their repertoire, why not?
Hello, Internet darling.
Whoops.
Why not?
So I'm going to put in the chat room the announcement thing. There it is. For the My Damn Channel Comedy Network. Now they did list out the first batch of programming already. That's part of the Cool Kids Comedy Club, as Tube Seltzer calls it. The Adventures of Humphrey and Spud, That Guy Live from the Inside,
Woo-hoo!
Running Late with Scott Rogowski, Frankie, which is an animated show, What If, Huffin' It, and Advice. So it looks, it looks like it's going to be a big deal. I love My Damn Channel. I think this is a really good idea for them.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a guest today.
We do.
You know that.
I know. I'm just being facetious. No? Not.
We are not high.
Not the time?
We are both getting sick. And we are on cough medicine. But... we have Travis Ritchie on the show today, who is the producer of the untitled, and I always get the title wrong. What is it? Untitled
pull it up.
Web series about a space traveler that can also travel through time. I believe it's the title, the full title.
Yeah.
Right?
Untitled web series about a space traveler.
Who can also travel through time. That's right. And we are going to be talking to Travis about the evolution of that show, which it changed its incarnation there in the middle of its Kickstarter. So we're going to be talking to him about the evolution of his show and what is in store for season 2, which is coming, among other things. And that will be in the second hour of Indie Intertube. Now.
Though I believe they just let us call it Space Time.
Well, they're not allowed to call it Space Time.
Oh, no, space, time, for short. Not all one word.
Because the show is a parody of a parody, yes?
Mm-hmm. It's a parody. Okay.
Because it's not technically based on Doctor Who. It's based on a parody of Doctor Who that was done on the
community.
Television show Community, correct.
Yes. It's a parody of a parody inside a show that treats itself like a mockumentary-style show. Or shot in mockumentary style, I like to call.
And I'm going to shock you all.
So it's like meta within meta within meta within parody.
And I'm going to shock you all. Before we do this interview with Travis, by saying this. Oh,
this is going to be horrible. We're going to lose people.
I am not a fan of Community. Have not watched more than an episode or two. Nor am I a diehard fan of Doctor Who.
Nope.
Try not to fall over and die. Try not to hate me too much because of that.
Right? No, now, see, and that's okay because now that's not to say you're not aware of it. You are aware of Doctor Who. You know the basic generality.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, you're not somebody who completely knows it, you know, because you thought, I don't, what, Doctor, what?
Well, no, and I watched Torchwood.
Right. So you're in it. I mean, you're in it. It's, I mean, no different than me. I've never watched a single episode of either in my entire life. But I know of Doctor Who. I know of certain characters in Doctor Who. I've watched little bits and pieces of, like, promo parts of Doctor Who and Torchwood and their Christmas specials and things like that, but I've never actually seen a full episode of any
of. Yeah, but you know all
of
the Y4 and Wessets for Doctor Who. I don't.
Kind of. I know that I want either Helen Mirren or who else wanted to be the female doctor? The other day we were talking about it. I would love it if Helen Mirren was reincarnated into the Doctor. That would be cool. We'd have to start over, but...
But before we do any of that,
yeah,
we have reviews to do.
Hey, Amber, they sell those at Hot Topic.
We have reviews to do. And we are going to start with... Was there anything you wanted to cover from Sunday a little bit more in depth?
I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming everybody's caught up.
I mean, you had a dream about Diane Delano last night.
That was messed up, wasn't it?
Talking about fun, I think you watched Fumbling a little bit too close.
I watched Fumbling. I watched all the three episodes I hadn't seen of Fumbling, and apparently it mashed it together enough to where Diane Delano was in my dream, and she was upset with her day because she hadn't fixed a car all day. And we made her happy because we brought her a car to fix. And then I woke up. I mean, there was much more to that dream, but yeah. Yeah.
She was happy.
Mm-hmm. She was extremely happy because we brought her a car that she could get her hands covered in grease in. And I don't know, somehow that made her day.
And yes, the Ragged Isle Season 3 teaser is out. We will be showing that on Sunday as well. Have you seen it? It's pretty epic if you haven't seen it. So was there anything you wanted to review, like, that you watched?
Well, I could re-review Fumbling.
I think you should.
I could re-review Standard Action because I believe their newest episode should be out. I think it's tomorrow.
And then we'll review Haywire, Thurston, Abigail, and the Actress Diaries. So, shoot.
Woo! I'm trying to think. I'm sorry, my brain is just shot right now, and I apologize. Okay, let's start with Fumbling. I'm just going to ruin it. I'm totally going to ruin it. Barb, we all know Barb. She's happy, she's go lucky. She's sort of way out there and new agey, and I'm going to say psychic and a little messed up, but she needs to be drunk to get there. She marries Vince's brother in Vegas. Oh, yeah. His brother, Bruce, who's played by Christian LeBlanc, which was so awesome to see Christian LeBlanc and Hillary B. Smith at the table in the kitchen. But, yeah, Barb and Bruce married in Vegas. So much trouble there. So much trouble. Oh, and Stella and is Shara's stepmother, like wicked, evil stepmother, except Shara's dad isn't dead. And they both get the phone call about that and are going to meet him. And I think they crash. But I have to say the usage of the, what do you call that? Like the roll screen? Is that what they call that? Where it was a screen that was on rollers and you just had somebody cranking it. And they had somebody in a vehicle in front of the screen. The usage of that is, I loved it. Even because that's just the show. The show is just awesome. And if you haven't caught up on Fumbling, or you haven't watched Fumbling Through the Pieces, start with season one and work your way up. Oh, ooh. And Jesse found out that Ellie has been hiding all the postcards that her soon-to-be ex-husband has been sending her every day. He's been writing Jesse, and Ellie's been hiding them. I'm trying to think.
Well,
I was going to talk. We got to talk about Divanity too again.
Well, we did a pretty thorough review of Divanity on Sunday. I want to talk about Thurston.
Okay.
Let's talk about Thurston. What was your immediate impressions of the second season, first episode of Thurston?
What the shit? What is going on? And that head still freaks me out.
Yeah, Pearl. It is kind of weird.
Pearl, y'all did a really good job on. I don't know if that's wax or what, but it's.
When he's sitting there looking at it before he says it's ruined, it is kind of gross.
Yeah, I'm like, where's Catherine? I need to talk to her.
But what stood out for you?
Well, they shot somebody. That wasn't cool.
I'm so glad the show is back. It's so well written and acted. They have wonderful costumes and sets. Everything seems very seamless.
Yes.
Their music is good. Their pacing is good. Paul Awad, the director of the his direction is very subtle and unobtrusive.
I like that because it allows me to enjoy the show. But as far as like story and stuff goes, they shot one of my favorite characters. And I don't want to spoil it for anybody who hasn't watched it, because you need to go watch it. If you haven't seen the opening episode of season two for Thurston, you need to. But I'm wondering if those are the Sneed boys, and we know they are, what kind of monster is their mama to make those two?
Three.
I'm sorry. There were only two in that episode, but to make those three.
Well, you
the
saw
way
the,
they are.
The old dude hit the youngest Sneed boy in the head with the butt of a gun.
Yes.
And they were looking for him at the end.
Right.
But anyway, sorry.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, how much of a monster is she going to be for, you know, to produce those three progeny from hell?
Yeah, Harlan Sneed's a real piece of work, isn't he?
He creeps me out. Like, royally creeps me out.
As if anybody should have put their guns in a bag and handed it to him just because he said so.
Can we just, right? But can we, and I love his look because he looks like a villain. You know what I mean? Like, his even down to his hat and the brim and the way that it makes his eyes stand out and the way they do and they're overshadowed. But can I just point out that they actually used a carpet bag? That they used a carpet bag to put the guns in. I love this show for its moderate historical accuracies. For the time period that they're trying to convey, it helps when you have a whole Western town too. But they had an actual carpet bag that they put those guns in. I was like, the attention to detail in this show. For some reason, the fact that they put their guns in a carpet bag stuck out to me.
Well, their attention to detail has always been very, very good.
Well, yes, as towards their attention to detail, not like, oh God, they have a carpet bag. This is distracting from the show. I was just like, oh, look at that! Look at that awesomeness.
I actually can't wait, because you know Mama Sneed is coming.
Oh.
She said she's not going to be happy that we left him behind.
Uh-huh.
So she's
Dirty coming. Sexy Trouble is coming
right.
to town.
That's right. Outstanding work for Thurston for the first episode of the second season. The last thing I have to say is it was too short. I wanted more. Quit.
What?
I wanted what? I
wanted
more. Of it. I didn't want it to end.
I know, because you hit the credit. I was like, wait for it. And you're like, what? And then the credits end. You're like, that's it? But damn it. I want more.
I have to say, I was a little upset about how short it was.
Yeah, but it's the first episode. I'm okay with your first episode being a little shorter than the rest of your show, and I'll tell you why. At least for your second season. Not your first season, but your second season. Because I'm already hooked on your show, or else I wouldn't be coming back for the second season. But you've made it short, so now I'm pissed off. So now I have to come back for episode two. And you better, it better be just a little bit longer. But even if it, even if episode two has a hook just like that one, I'm still coming back for episode three. It's a perfect hook. Just wait now. No?
Yeah.
Doesn't, no.
Did the chat room break?
I don't know. I mentioned that Hot Topic has a very large Doctor Who merchandise compliment, and I'm not really sure why. And nobody talked after that.
You're probably still trying to figure that out.
What in the world was that?
I don't know. I have no idea. Is the board okay? Well, that was convenient.
Okay.
And, of course, now Thurston is in the room.
Ooh. That was a little scary. If that happens again, we're not calling back in. We're going to have to reschedule
everything. Because
yeah.
I don't know what... I mean, our health guest just got back home and out. Because that had anything to do with anything.
Okay. Back to Thurston. Outstanding first episode of the second season.
Yes.
Sometimes I'm just astounded at how pretty the show is. And,
ooh,
again, with the attention to detail, it is so good. And I never get taken out of the fact that it's a period Western.
No. Never, ever.
I'm able to consistently stay in that time frame and be completely believable.
Well, I have one question. What was the head made out of? Now that they're in the room.
I know, you want to know that, because it's so creepy.
It was very creepy, and I was like, it doesn't look like wax, but it could be if somebody did it right.
Indeed.
But, you know, I was curious. I don't know how, if there's a delay. I hope we're not delayed. I hope that didn't mess us up. That was just weird. There was a very loud, staticky pop in our headphones, and then everything went dead. So I don't know. I didn't hear. If you snapped in front of your mic, I didn't hear that. Okay, now I did.
Can everybody hear us?
That was weird.
Please try to let us know in the chat room as soon as you can if you can hear us. Otherwise, we are going to have to pull the plug on today's show and see what the problem
okay.
is with our equipment.
Yay, they can hear us.
Okay, good.
Yay.
Let's talk a little bit about Haywire.
Okay, good.
Now, there's a new episode of Haywire coming out day after tomorrow.
I think we're having like a 5-minute delay. That was really weird.
There's a new episode of Haywire coming out day after tomorrow, and I have to say,
yes.
I cannot wait. They're driving me crazy.
Yes.
I totally respect their release schedule, but it drives me crazy. I love the way they are expanding on the world of Haywire and drawing me in and pulling in characters that we haven't seen in a while and giving us an update and kind of interconnecting everything and letting you know that the government is shady, which we already knew. But I have to say, in this episode, all I could think from almost the very beginning is I don't trust that guy. I don't trust that guy.
Right?
I trust that guy that they ran into at the watering hole.
And this is going to sound weird, but for that right there, the fact that they met at the watering hole and went off, all I can think of is, like, Discovery Channel and all the really, really bad shit that ends up happening at the water hole. Like, when they show the elephants going to the water hole, and, oh, wait, they're not the only ones there. The gators have gone there, or the lions have gone there, or the hyenas have gone there. You know what I mean? There's always that, oh, here's the majestic cave buffalo going to the watering hole. Little do they know that it's full of freaking crabs that are going to eat their face kind of thing. And then I see it in Haywire, and I was like, oh, look, well, they have now met the hyena of the watering hole at this place with the stranger. Be like, No. Don't trust him. Don't go with him. No, stay together. What part of this are we not, do we not ever remember from watching movies? Because how much do all of us bitch in real life when shit like that happens? Stay together. Don't separate. Stay with people you know. If crazy stuff happens, and this is because Lou just said wow, and you see, I thought, look at that, the guy at the water pump is the one that got pummeled by the book, is what Lou just said.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. But I'm still going, okay. But don't trust him. Why are people getting sick? I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand. I don't like that either.
Because we know that
we know that some people are coming out of it.
Right.
But I'm wondering if the people who were never affected, if they drink the water,
if
does it make them sick?
Oh, and the head was latex, by the way. It's a really good head, Kat. It just creeps me out, even down to, like, the little sewed up neck bone parts. But with Haywire, yeah. I'm this show constantly
and
makes
now
me
I think that everything has something to do with Airplane Park.
Huh?
Well, Airplane Park, which they mentioned Airplane Park in the episode.
Oh yeah.
Somewhere where there's a military Air Force jet. Anyone who tries to leave the effective zone gets sick. You guys are really
so interesting.
There's so much to think about with Haywire, and I'm so drawn into the show that I just keep getting other issues. I want to sit down and just do like a round table for 2 hours on Haywire.
Oh, Clutch is going to the ISA too.
What?
Yeah.
So we're like the only ones who aren't going to be there.
Apparently. We should do what Darren says and fundraise for it. We don't need much.
Yeah, but we can't even get cheap tickets anymore. We'd be paying like $100 a piece for tickets almost.
It's $300, $350 total for both of us. But that was last week.
So it would cost us $400 for a flight, plus a couple hundred dollars for tickets, and we'd have to find a place to stay.
Oh, and of course, Nate and Kayla are going too.
Of course they are.
You know. And apparently stay Clutch's Jacuzzi because that's where I want to stay, you know, in the cast of Clutch's Jacuzzi with the crazy fucker.
What are they going to do, make me eat a light bulb?
Over at you know, what are they going to do, tie me up, throw me in a fish tank? Like, what?
I would love to do a round table about Haywire when it's all over.
Yeah.
And sit down and talk about the meaning of everything and what it all meant in the end. Moving on from that, I want to talk about Abigail. Now, I know everybody was really excited when we showed the trailer for Abigail originally. Well, they're up to episode 4 now. And I still think they've got beautiful, incredible.
Their show just pops with everything
pop.
That they do.
It's so pretty.
I want to know, are they shooting on the Red?
I believe they are, yes.
Okay, because I was going to say, outside of the Red, I want to know what they're filming on, because whatever they're doing makes everything, the depth of field is so vast.
And the colors are
great. And the colors are so deep that they pop.
It really is a phenomenal...
The Jacuzzi of Pain.
...web series. And here's
Good
the
Lord, it's
the
like
trailer.
The entire complement of Thurston is going.
But, Abigail is so good, and here's what I love about it. It's beautiful to look at. I mean, it's just beautifully shot. but my favorite thing about Abigail is that they're 4 episodes in. I'm completely hooked on the show and will not miss an episode.
And you're completely lost.
And yet I'm completely lost. I have no idea what's going on. And
but
that is
good.
Amazing. It is good, and it is amazing.
Because it's not as if you're lost in the fact that what they've given you is not you're confused. You're not confused about what you're given. You're lost about where we're going and what's happening, but you're so involved in it because you want to know where we're going and what's happening and what the catalyst
right.
for all this
it's
was.
It's not that what they're giving me is not good or confusing. What they're just parsing it out in such a way that I have
right.
no idea what's going on, but I want to know desperately. Does that make sense?
Yes. And that's the sign of a good show, I feel.
At least we know now that she is a cybernetic organism. She's a program running inside of an android.
Which is interesting in and of itself.
But then we also got to see that the other woman that's involved, they might be clones of real people. I don't know, but she definitely saw...
Wouldn't it be messed
another
up?
Another android like Abigail that looked directly, that looked
exactly
like
her.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be messed up if it's kind of like the island and they've all been cloned and they don't know it, but their clones are malfunctioning? Or their android selves are malfunctioning and they're having to go fix it and they don't realize they're fixing themselves and it's like they're stuck in a hard drive?
Well, I went back and watched the trailer, and in it, the one guy does say, I don't think Abigail is what we thought she was.
No.
So.
I think she's a virus.
You think she's a virus?
I think she has a virus, and that's why she's different, and that's why they want to get her.
Wow, really?
Either that, or she is immune to a virus, because clearly the other one was malfunctioning.
Yeah.
Maybe she's immune to it, and they want to figure out why. Before they all die, because they're all androids, and they're all kind of like Blade Runner, where they're all going to die. They just don't know it.
Or maybe she's become sentient.
Maybe.
I mean, that's possible. Amanda.
Yay. That could be it. That maybe she's become sentient. But then, was she just faking it then with the countdown?
I don't know.
And hence why she said then run?
I don't know. I really don't. They've got me completely confused and yet utterly intrigued. And again, one of the prettiest web series I've ever seen. It's just beautiful.
Yeah.
It really is. I'm not sure about these technical difficulties that we are having. My microphone keeps going in and out.
Yeah, what is that about?
I'm getting a lot of static.
Are you?
Yeah.
I'm afraid. I'm, like, terrified that my mic, that whatever, I don't know if it was my mic or if it was the board that popped.
I don't know, but if it was the board, I mean, we have a secondary board that we can use for next week. But
yeah.
I don't want either of us to get hurt.
Well, yeah,
or the groundsman pulls or something's wrong.
Well, because the cat. Here's the thing. We like to keep an open door policy in our house. And apparently the cats have abused that open door policy by sleeping, walking, crawling, jumping, and farting around all of our electronics. So that could be it, because don't forget the board was on the ground the other day.
It was?
Yes, behind your chair. I assumed Yogi knocked it off.
The soundboard has gone haywire.
Ah!
Uh-huh.
Either that or we got struck by lightning last night and it's messed up something in the room.
It could have, and I also don't know if it's Skype. I've been doing a lot of computer upgrading in here, and I don't.
Oh, see, look at that. Look at, Perrings is going because he's never been to New York. You've got to go. Now I want to go.
I mean, I'm sure that it sounds good, but I don't know what that pop was earlier.
No, that was
really
kind of
don't.
Scary. I want to go to New York now. Can we go to New York? I'll take a train. Can we take a train? It'll be cheaper than a plane, won't it?
No, it's not.
No?
Not right now.
Oh. You'll be so happy you made that trip, Gary.
I don't want to lose our guest right in the middle of an interview.
That would suck. So what are we doing? We're an hour in. What are we doing?
I don't know.
Because I want them on our show.
I do too. But I don't want to have a subpar interview. And if we are having problems, technical
right.
problems,
right?
I don't want to have that affect a guest.
I'm not 100%. I'm going to be coughing.
Okay, I think we got it back. Hold on.
Okay.
I'm waiting to hear from people if they can. We're back. Okay,
oh, yeah.
We're back.
Let me do that. Let me touch a copper connection because electricity and I are awesome.
Yeah, she doesn't get along very well with electricity. I'm not sure what happened.
Electricity and I are awesome together. If I discharge that, I will fly into the next room, I think.
But we should have Travis within the next few minutes.
Okay.
There we go. Okay, so I have no idea what's going on. And it could very well be...
It could be the wind.
The wind.
It could also be that somebody ran over the Verizon line.
Could be that, too.
That happens. Because they bury them about 2 inches below the ground, and it's Florida. If you bury anything in Florida, like we found out last night on ID, it will eventually be brought up. And based on the rain and the weather that we've had, I wouldn't be surprised if some of those cables had been brought up and somebody ran over them, and now they're...
Well, we're
under a wind advisory.
A severe weather alert right now.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to check and see how bad it actually is.
It wouldn't make me forget my cold. That is true. It might, I don't know, the added, I feel like Slimer right now. So that added, that I don't think that will help with the discharging of the cables.
And yeah, we are under a severe wind.
It was windy earlier.
And fire advisory right now.
Fire advisory? Oh, because it's dry?
Yep.
Oh, no bonfire.
And wind can definitely...
Wind is a bitch, especially when your power lines are above ground like ours, because we're an older house. And our electricity and our cables are connected via the power line that runs down the driveway about 8 feet above the ground. Are surrounded by trees and things.
Okay, so now that you've seen The Actors' Diaries, why don't you talk a bit about that? I forget what it is.
Okay. Yeah. But it's fun. We need like double... I need your commentary with that one. Because it's such a good... It's so cute. And it is a show... Okay. The Actors' Diaries, it's a comedy. And it's a show that's been done a million times to death. It's waitresses who are also actors. We've all heard the story because clearly the only job that most of us can get as actors is if we're service staff. Probably because of the scheduling. But no, it's cute and it's funny. It made me laugh. It's a bit different. I believe it's shot in Vancouver. Yes. No, she's in another room. I believe it's shot in Vancouver. They sounded like they were from New Zealand, even though it was shot in Vancouver. Yes, we have confirmed shot in Vancouver. Yes. But that was cute. That was very, very lovely of you. But no, I mean, you've got it because you found it.
I did.
And you showed it to me.
It's shot in a Vancouver restaurant, and it is
hilarious.
Poor hapless actresses who are really waitresses, and it's not that it does anything new or groundbreaking. And yes, this kind of show has been done to death 1,000 times, but it's funny, and that's all I can tell you guys is it's funny, and I can forgive a formula that's been done to death if it's done well. And they do it very, very well. I mean, it's just downright funny. And who will you be reading for today? Why, you.
You, of course. You.
You.
What the fuck? What was that?
I did it again.
What was that? All I am doing is sitting in the same position I have sat in the whole show. Was that your mic? Is that you holding your mic?
No, it's not me. I'm fine.
Creepy. The inn is coming.
I know. We have them on the show coming up very, very soon.
We do. Is that next week?
It is the 13th.
That's right. That's right.
The day before Valentine's Day, we're having them on.
Black Wednesday.
Is it you moving your mic now?
No. I've got my mic cord secured, and all I'm doing is holding my mic.
Okay.
I have this is what I'm doing. Right here. It bounces, and it moves, and it turns side to side, and it gets a better thing in my voice, and it bonks me in the face. But other than that, it doesn't. We're good.
Okay. Then we're good. We are going to muddle forward.
That's weird.
And see what happens.
We got an hour.
We are troopers. And we will continue our show despite technical difficulties.
It's we had technical difficulties on Sunday. Is your Skype phone ringing? Upper right-hand corner.
No.
Oh. Weird. I didn't know that displayed like that when we were on call. Must be a new thing.
No.
Everybody's got to go. People aren't feeling good. Gift had to go because she feels under the weather. Some people are really tired.
Flu is really kind of sweeping.
Right, it's like an epidemic. I feel like it's haywire. It's a real thing in the form of the flu right now.
And you're just dying over there.
I'm not meaning to. I'm trying. It's hard. When I talk for an excessive period of time, it gets worse. But I want to be involved. I have passion. I'm here and I'm dying. But I want to interview people. And I want to talk shows. Ooh, do you want to talk about the vanity some more? Where do you think they're going? What do you think's happening? While we wait, let's theorize. Because I don't know where the hell haywire is going. I think we're all going to die. And haywire...
No, I don't think we're all going to die. Let's theorize haywire.
Okay.
I don't think we're all going to die. I think the government did it. Now, I'm not sure that all of the government people that showed up...
I think like a small handful of the government people in that complement did it, knew it, tested it without permission, maybe, and went, oh, shit. And everyone else is like, we have to figure this out. Kind of like releasing an EMP, but only two people knew about it.
Right.
But now 20 people got to figure out why it did what it did. I think that's kind of the same thing.
And I think they sent in the people that they think wouldn't figure it out, but they're going to figure it out.
Uh-huh. And now, like Lou said, everybody who leaves the zone. So I'm sitting there going, okay, so is this the only city affected? Did they do it in pockets?
They must have.
Did they test this city versus the next city? And if you leave the zone, how do you know? How do you know you left the zone? Because you didn't haywire if you weren't looking at it. But clearly you were still exposed
to
something.
Why is everybody getting sick if they leave, if the only people who were affected were the ones who saw it directly?
Well, directly affected. What about if the people who didn't look at it were indirectly affected because the light not only did something if you stared at it, but it released something in the body? Kind of like when you go outside and your vitamin D levels go up, right?
Right.
The sun provides you with vitamin D. So if that thing goes off, maybe if you look at it directly, and if you look at the sun, you're going to burn your eyes.
You know, maybe we should launch a web series, like a Google Hangout type web series, or a thing where we can get fans every week.
Haywire the theories.
And do, okay, this week we're going to watch Haywire together, and then we're going to theorize what's going on. And we'll have four or five people with their cameras on, and we can all talk
right
at the same time. And we'll just do...
Yeah, but how do we record that?
We can do it on Google Hangout.
That's true. We can at least record all the audio.
Well, you can record the video, too.
Yeah. But, like,
we could even do it on SickCam. You'd have all of those cameras
That's
on the side.
True.
All we have to do is
turn
on the audio.
Unmute them, yeah. In the inner tube of the roundtable sessions.
Roundtable discussions of web series.
Because there's a lot
Vanity,
of shows.
Vanity, Haywire, Thurston, Anacostia.
There's a lot of shows I would roundtable with, both with fans and creators, and say, don't tell me where you're going, but let me tell you what I'm getting.
Well, it would be cool
me.
To get other creators to watch a show like Haywire and then try to get everybody to theorize where they're all headed. I mean, we did that a lot with Cell back in the day.
Yeah, yeah. We had viewing parties. Now, we can do that sort of with Cover It Live, too.
I think it would be better to use Google Hangout.
But Google Hangout would probably be better if you can utilize it. I think a roundtable session would be neat.
I think that would be
Because you know we wanted to do it.
A tremendous amount of fun.
We wanted to do it with Ragged Isle.
We did.
Remember?
And Haywire is just begging for it because of the release schedule. Because we're only getting one episode a month, it gives you that time to really, like, break it down and wonder what's going on and talk about it. Like, we've been talking about it for a couple of hours now since we watched it.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but it's funny because, and this is a nod to somebody else that's doing stuff in the space, but it makes me want to do, like, Stupid for Web series. But I'd probably get in trouble.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, the last episode that we watched of Haywire, last month's episode.
Yeah.
We talked about that for, like, weeks.
Yeah.
And then we broke it down here on the show.
Well, remember the finale? We were still talking about that up until the new episode of this current season.
I love a show that can make me think about the meaning of it all.
Because like we said, because we don't know where we're going.
No, I don't know what's going on with the equipment or the board. I've got nothing.
That's okay. Sorry, but no, like with I think stuff like that's really cool.
Haywire's become something entirely different than what I thought it was when it started.
When it first started, exactly. Yeah. And then now there's so many extra things. I don't. It's almost like extramarital, but it's extra chemical, I guess, things that are going on around the main plot device that are going, okay, well, this could be happening and this could be happening, but wait, then you got this guy and all these other people that we saw in that first episode. You got the book face guy.
Yeah.
You've got the delivery dude. You've got the hillbilly. Well, you've got the kid. You're seeing all of these characters we were introduced to on the very first episode.
Like, we could
coming
do
back.
To leave because uh-huh. That was another one that
yep.
I would love to get people in a round table to do that.
And you know what would be neat is if we did it right, because we're just theorizing show ideas because that's just where we're at right now. If we did it right and we recorded it right, you know, we could give it to these shows to add as supplementary content for, like, their DVDs
yeah.
or YouTube channels or whatever else and be like, here's a roundtable session with us.
But, you know, like, one of the most disturbing things that I think has come up in Haywire
yeah.
is the new power structure, the new law.
The new, oh, like the martial law type?
No, not martial law.
Well, no, it's government law, but...
Not government law. It's the hillbillies that have kind of come up and taken...
Yeah, it's like martial law.
Well, martial law would be the government.
Would be the government, but it's vigilante. Vigilante
yeah, it's
law.
Vigilante justice.
Yeah, vigilante law. What do they call that when you have your own faction?
It's a cult of freaks?
No, they have them now. You know, the Americans who are fighting for their country and they
militia? Control.
Yes. Militia law. Where it's run by a militia. Your town is now run by a militia.
And they're scary, you know, it's like...
Because they're fucked up.
Because they're criminals, too.
Well, not only that, but you tend to get the people
and
who...
The subtlety of what is going on is
uh-huh.
forever going to be lost on them. They're never going to get
Of course.
That.
It's kind of like, you know, when shit hits the fan, who's the first... There's three kinds of people that step up. One, the person who knows that everything everybody is doing is wrong and everyone needs to chill the hell out, but they usually don't get listened to. Because their explanation for things is too simple, and it's so subtle that nobody's going to pay attention to it. Or you get the people who don't care, and they see it as a way out of their problems. Like, I can blame these people because then I get their land and their shit and all that. Or you get the third kind, which are like the fanaticals, like Phelps. You know, if shit goes
right.
down
and
there,
like,
Phelps
like,
is going to come into power.
Like I just said, there's more than one set of laws in place because you
yeah.
have the federal government there.
Right.
You have the government of the state of New York, who's also been mentioned.
Yep.
And you have the vigilantes.
Right. The militia.
And I have a feeling that what is rising up around the healer,
the hillbilly.
Too, is going to be a whole other set of things.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to have her own protectors, and she's going to have her own...
Right.
Like
you end
set
up,
of people, her own community.
You end up splintering. It's the same thing that happens with that we see in survival movies or movies or TV shows that involve like colonies where there's no power, there's no water, there's this. People break up into sections. You have the lawless types, you have the lawful types, you have the healing types, you have sort of the neutral types in between, you have the loner types. But you know, typically it comes down to two factions. One, the lawless types who have a really, really badass person running their laws and organizations who really wants money and power and control. And then you have the other faction, which is all about benefiting everybody, working together, you know, and pushing the forward momentum of, you know, moving forward and growing together and being prosperous despite the tragedy or issue that's come about. And those two typically clash with each other because, you know, one side wants more control and one side wants to just let everybody be what they're going to be.
So it looks like Travis is trying to call in, but the line is not picking up.
What?
The Blog Talk line is not picking up.
Well, didn't you have a problem?
I had a problem getting into Blog Talk today myself as a host. Luckily, Travis got caught contacting me on Facebook. He's got the right number.
Okay.
Let's see.
See, and Catherine's having computer issues. Like, what is going on? No. Going back to Haywire, which I could do this with just about any show that we watch, but Haywire, for what reason or another, makes us go into that sort of conspiratorial theory mindset, I think, because there are a lot of things in place. Kind of like, this is where I get weird. There are a lot of things and programs and certain functionalities of the government that I know for a fact that none of us are aware of, will ever be aware of, and until, you know, maybe 150 years from now, and even then it's going to be blacked out half the time. But when I see something like Haywire and what they've done there, it makes me go, well, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we have something similar. And there might, that's where I think the theory of there's that group that has created whatever the Haywire project or the plane that causes the Haywire light to happen. There's three people that know exactly what it can do, let's say, and are fully aware of its capabilities and what it's going to do and how it's going to operate and what kind of mess it's going to create. But there are only three people in a group of 20. And now because they've decided to go ahead on their own and do it and not let those other 20 people know that, hey, no, this is going to cause a serious problem, that now those 20 people have to figure it out. And most often they're going to lose. It's kind of like the Walking Dead theory, where you have those people who knew it was coming or knew about it and have been trying to make it better, and yet, you know, we're all screwed for their mistakes and mishaps. Well, yeah, and it's like Chun just said, it's like finding out the government sprayed radiation on Americans in the 50s, or they sprayed them down with LSD because they felt that it would prevent certain things from happening if we were ever attacked by nukes and other things. It's just like, no, I don't doubt that there are certain things in place that I will never find out in my lifetime, but four lifetimes from now, you'll find out that we were all, you know, constantly under a different kind of radiation and EMP therapy treatment, so that if the sun ever died, we wouldn't be able to survive or something. It's one of those things. And it's the same difference with, say, like the JFK assassination, and now all of the papers for that have been released, but most of them are redacted. You get like 50, what is it? You get like 50.
Okay, I'm going to see if I'm checking now to see if I can actually call Travis and Evan.
Hello, you've reached the business line of Robot Ninja and Gay Guy. We're unable to take your call right now, but if you leave a message, we'll get back to you just as soon as we can. Thank you.
Well, almost.
Special. But there was a whole bunch of stuff. It's just like when they tested the nuclear bomb. Remember we saw that show where they revisited the island where they were testing nukes, and all of those people that they ousted from the island, from their home, and what was it, Rainbow Island or something like that? And they didn't know anything about nuclear fallout or degradation, and they blew up these ships, you know, the ones we see that they sell DVDs for now, and then they went back to the ships and had all of those guys walk on the ships that had just been blasted with a nuke and haul them into shore and test them out. And I'm like, and y'all are, that is, you're so special. You're all dead. Whereas the scientists who knew about nuclear technology and splitting of atoms, we're telling them, don't touch it, don't do it, don't go to it. If you, yes, Bikini Island. If you blow it up, don't touch it. You're not going to be able to touch it for 350 years minimum. They still can't go to those islands. They still can't visit them or certain parts of them where they tested. And again, that's five people who were scientists who knew what was going on and what would eventually happen with that kind of radiation level versus an entire military complement who went ahead with those, good Lord, what do they call them? Those operations and you know, basically became victims of it. Sometimes I feel like that's what's happening with Haywire, is there are five guys in it that know exactly what's going on, and they've done it anyway, and now they're having to try and fix it. But then there's the, like you said, April, when they leave the zone,
mm-hmm.
and why they're getting sick, I'm like, well, then everybody would have been affected by the light, whether they looked at it or not. Unless there's something else that we're not privy to right now, that the government has basically set up like an invisible fence of, I don't know, radiation or something, that once you pass it, you're going to get sick, because if you go to the general populace outside of this zone that we're tested, you're going to infect them and you're going to kill everybody, like zombie syndrome. So if we kill you ahead of time, if we kill you before you can run into anybody outside of the zone, then you're safe. Everybody's safe. That's what I'd be worried about. No?
Okay, it's not letting me dial out with Skype either.
Okay.
On it, within our
thing
here.
What is going on?
I don't know. Damn it.
I feel like a failure right now.
Okay, hold on a minute. I'm going to drop this call and call right back in, so hold on. Okay, if everybody can hear us, I think we've figured out a way to cobble this together.
All right.
Despite Blog Talk's problems. And Travis, it is an honor to have you on the show.
Finally.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm sorry that technology was broken.
You got to work on that, Inspector.
Yes, Inspector. Can't you fix that?
Space and time are my deals, not technology.
Oh.
Sorry, you're going to have to talk to Inspector Technology Man.
Oh, man. Is there even an Inspector Technology? If there's not, there should be.
Detective Technology? That's my next... I claim it.
Own it.
It's interesting. You've got people in the chat room saying that they are big fans and they're fellow creators, so that's very cool.
Oh, brilliant. Where is the chat room? Oh, hey, there it is.
There you go.
It's down the page. All right, I'm going to link this onto my Facebook page so that I can get those guys engaged.
Absolutely, because they're a very engaged bunch you have on your Facebook page.
Yeah, well, the entire Inspector Spacetime community is amazingly engaged and creative and just so much fun to just... We work together. I mean, I talk to people all the time, and so it's great. It's such a wonderful thrill to be a part of.
Well, you know, I'm amazed at you and so impressed at you that throughout all of this you can maintain such a good outlook about everything that you've had to go through to get this web series out there.
Oh, well, if this is the hardest thing I ever had to do in my life, it would be a pretty good life. So, I mean... I don't have to
play the original Inspector Spacetime on Community, correct?
Yeah, right. Right, which was a thrill. I mean, that was a huge honor, and I was incredibly lucky to be a part of that. And, I mean, because I was a fan of Community anyway,
right.
And to be able to be on it was amazing, one. And then to be able to play a character that I knew was going to be, you know, kind of a big deal, and that I was a fan of Doctor Who, you know, before that anyway, that just doubled the honor. So, and then I've been to conventions and, you know, Gallifrey One, and I was asked almost right away to do a video for the Chicago TARDIS convention. And I've been around to a couple different conventions around the country this last year, so it has been remarkable.
Now, let's keep this straight for everybody who's listening. Other than a couple of parody within a parody things, what you guys have done is completely original. It's all an original idea.
Yeah, absolutely. What we wanted to do is we wanted to have, I mean, that we've been doing, me and my writing partner, Eric Loya, have been doing web series for a while, and we've been writing together. So when we tried to create something that hopefully NBC or Sony would want to make as a way to expand the Inspector Spacetime universe without having to put it in the actual show community, which, you know, I recognize is kind of a difficult thing. The community had only created one joke really at that point, that, you know, the it's not where but when, and that's not even original to Inspector Spacetime. That's been used in time travel shows, you know, for
correct.
Decades. So really we had to create this whole universe, and so we did. We spent hours mapping out who was who and where they came from and what the villains were, and then but only what we needed for that series. And then fans, once the episode aired on Community, fans took that and just created an entire history of this fake show, which was incredible. So we have drawn on that, and we have drawn on and then fans in turn have drawn on what we've done. And so there's been this kind of recursive creativity for this show, which is amazing. And some of the stuff that we've got planned for this next year are kind of amazing, I think, you know.
Well, I mean, the whole thing really is amazing, the way that it came about and how you had to change things and change the title, which I think the title you use now is much more apropos.
I like it. It's snarky. It's silly. It says exactly what the show is. And, you know, as people have been concerned, like we are actually thinking about doing a comic book. And someone was like, well, you can't call it Untitled Web Series. But I was like, no, of course not. We just call it Untitled Comic Book about a space traveler who can also travel. Simple, easy, and awesome solution. So we can do that for anything. Like, we've also been talking about doing a radio plays. And it's like, you know, the Untitled Radio Show about a space traveler. You know, it works for everything.
It does. And at this point, you guys are kind of copyright safe.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, because we had to change the name, and because we had to change, and we changed the look of the character, which, I mean, from a copyright point of view, we were on pretty good, you know, we were on pretty strong ground without even having to do any of those things. But because, for example, you can't copyright a title, and they hadn't at the time had any trademarks on Inspector Spacetime or anything like that. But I mean, my thing was that I didn't want to fight with what was one of my favorite shows. And so, and still is. I'm cautiously optimistic about season four.
Cautiously, yeah.
Well, you just never know with all the things that have been going on with them. But I just didn't want to fight with, you know, one of my favorite shows. And so, but the side effect of that is that, yeah, now we own the property.
Exactly.
The Untitled Dynasty. We have no. With you know, taking advantage of the story that we now have, we're at the reins of. So and
right, because now it becomes an original IP.
Exactly.
So I have a question for you, and this has been something that Amanda, my co-host, and I have been talking about all day, because I've watched various episodes of your series. She's watched more of it than I have, and there's a reason for that. And I want to ask you, because the show seems very, very niche, how do you market the show or promote the show or talk to someone about the show if they are like me and they're not really a huge fan of Community or Doctor Who? And I know I've got people falling out in the chat room already because I said I've never been a diehard fan of Doctor Who. But how do you speak to a fan like me and say, it doesn't matter if you've watched either of those, you can still watch this and enjoy it?
Well, I suppose
it's an important issue that web series creators need to realize that.
Yeah.
You have to be able to promote your IP no matter what it is. You've got an extra added little difficulty there. So how do you overcome that?
I mean, it's somewhat difficult, but also, okay, you've watched the show. You tell me, did you get it?
I did get it.
Well, there you go.
I felt like, though, that there were a few times that there were jokes that I wasn't getting because I wasn't.
Absolutely. Well, and that's what I
mean.
office, we wanted to make it accessible to everyone, but people who were Doctor Who fans, it's the same thing with all of the content we do, like Robot Ninja and Gay Guy, for example, is one of our other series. Sitcoms, they get it, but for people who get sitcoms, for like TV people, mm-hmm. there's stuff that they really can discover. And so we did the same thing with Untitled. You know, it's essentially a comedy, but it's a sci-fi show. So if you like sci-fi, you'll get a little extra. And then if you specifically like Doctor Who, you'll get a little even more. So so that's where it comes from. You know, and as far as the challenges, well, sci-fi is the most popular genre.
True.
In the world. So with that, we already have that kind of built-in fan base. Doctor Who, as far as those fans being online and being engaged, is probably one of the biggest fan bases on the internet right now. So, you know, as far as being niche, it's a pretty big niche, you know? So
now I loved a lot of what you've done. Robot Ninja and Gay Guy is hilarious, by the way.
Yeah.
But I'm a TV person, so I get a lot of that. And I'm a sci-fi person, so I have to say, when I sat down to watch the first episode of Untitled, the whole discussion of Second New Earth number 7.
Second New Old Earth 7.
That was funny.
That was hilarious to me, and that's because that's a sci-fi trope.
It made me think
back.
Of Earth 2. You remember that show?
Yeah.
I liked Earth 2. And I mean, the deal with that was when we were writing this, I had not yet gotten back into Doctor Who like full force. It's always been kind of part of my life. I watched it as a kid because my older brothers watched it. Mm-hmm. But it had not, you know, I'm one of those people who doesn't like to jump in the middle of a show. So, and it didn't get available on Netflix until just before I auditioned for Community. So when I auditioned, I watched one episode to kind of get refreshed with, it was the Matt Smith premiere. And then after I got cast, I went back and watched the whole thing all the way through. And so I was in the middle of watching the show when we were the web series, and it struck me that on every planet, no matter how far in the future, there's one episode where they go literally 3 billion years in the future. Still using projectile weapons, and everybody still looks human. And so I'm like, well, that's weird. And so I just wanted to address that, and that's where Second New Old Earth 7 came from.
So are you going to do a lot more of that in the second season, like dealing with, like you did in the first season, a lot of the really kind of silly, overused, and yet very much expected by the fans sci-fi tropes?
Some. There is one major trope that we're picking at for the second season, and I'm very excited about it. It's the idea that, and you see this a lot in sci-fi, where the main character is convinced that their life or everything that they and the audience has ever known is a lie. And so you know, there's a famous Buffy episode where she wakes up in an insane asylum, and fans still, you never really know whether the universe of Buffy the Vampire Slayer is in her imagination or it's real because of that episode. So we're playing with that with this episode where the inspector shows up in a place and they're trying to convince him that he is he's a writer who's kind of going a little insane and pretending that he is his own character. So so he has to get out of that. And I don't want to give too much away because it's a lot more than that, but it's really,
but that sounds fun because that sounds like it'll give you a chance to go a little meta too, a little more meta.
Absolutely, and that's something we really like. And you know, being familiar with Robot Ninja and Gay Guy, you know that's something that we all really appreciate. We like doing that. We like looking at the things we love. And
right. And that's one of the things that I wanted to ask you about, because that is something that you've done a lot of, and you're very good at it. You're very good at kind of poking those tropes without making fun of them or ridiculing them, because we all know what they are. There's horror movie tropes, there's sci-fi tropes, there's sitcom tropes, and we're all used to those things. But and as much as we make fun of them, we also expect them still.
Exactly. Well, and there's a reason why they work. I mean, you can do the same kind of plot in different things as long as you do it in a new and interesting way. And that's something that I credit Eric Loya, my co-writer, with really a lot of that, because he has this amazing ability to twist things. There was a I reference Robot Ninja and Gay Guy because it's something I'm so proud of, but we had an episode where coincidentally Nicholas Brendon, who played Xander on Buffy, he found our show and wanted to do an episode. So we made him the nosy neighbor character, which is in every that has a, you know, a some sort of supernatural being, whether it's, you know, Bewitched or Vicky from the robot show. And there's always the nosy neighbor who's almost about to discover the truth. And so we made Nikki that character. But Eric wrote an episode, basically, even though this was episode 11, we wrote Nikki into past episodes and showed you scenes that were either directly before or directly after season arc scene. And it's just Eric has a very a really innate skill. And I think that doing with season 2 of Untitled is very – it's so brilliant, and I'm so excited to do it. We just started to raise money to get that done.
Right. So have you started a campaign already? Is that going on right now?
Well, I wasn't sure whether or not we were going to do a Kickstarter, partly because the budget of season 1 was very simple. We were doing, you know, with an eye towards being affordable, you know. But season 2, the two things that are going to be is it's twice as long. That was the big season 1 is the episodes are too short. So season 2, the episodes will be twice as long. And it's also, it's got a kind of a broader scope. And also, I really want to be able to pay the cast and crew a little something. In the first season, everybody donated their time, and that was great. Problems because of that. So it's important to me to at least pay people a little something. But that's going to bring our budget to somewhere in the range of $100,000 to $115,000 for season 2. So, and I don't know that we could raise that right now on Kickstarter. I don't want to do a Kickstarter campaign unless we know we could raise it. So we're looking at sponsorships, and we're also looking at doing the prequel episode. So we wrote an episode that kind of bridges season 1 and season 2, just like kind of those of Doctor Who will recognize the prequel episode. And that we're thinking of doing a Kickstarter that we will launch, I think, at Galaxy in a couple weeks.
Cool. I mean, I'm glad that you're going to do that. I know you brought Helena Santos Levy on as a producer in the second season.
Yes.
Very, very cool.
Yeah. I've known Helena for a long time. And she's just this great, savvy, too. Talented. So it would be a great match for a reason to work together for a long time. So that's really wonderful.
So I have a question for you. How has fan reaction been? You guys have a ton of people on your Facebook. What kind of – how has your experience at these conventions been? What has fan reaction been to what you've created with Untitled and the universe that you're expanding on and where you're headed with it?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I can't say enough good things about the fans. They have been so embracing of what we're trying to do. I mean, there have been a couple people now and then who kind of won't get it. And so, like, comments will show up on the videos, someone saying, this is a Doctor Who ripoff, like it's a bad thing. And someone else will usually pipe in going, yeah, it is. Thank you for pointing that out. But other than that, I'm really loving it. And the thing that I love most is that they are, like I said, taking things we're creating and then creating stuff based on that, and like it's crazy. So we have already written into season 2 characters like Tarvis the squirrel, who a fan created based on a little mini meme that all it was someone misspelled my name on an article, and so they took that and ran with it and created this character of Tarvis the squirrel. It's a flying squirrel, a flying mechanical squirrel, and who leads the inspector to safety when he's in danger. And so we wrote him into season 2. And little stuff like that is just brilliant. So,
it's really awesome the way that you have opened yourself up to fan reaction, fan engagement, and especially fan involvement in what you're doing, because really, if you weren't a fan of what you were what you did on Community and a fan of what they were spoofing when they did that, none of this would have been born.
Exactly, and that's the thing. I am a fan myself. I'm a huge nerd, and I've been back when Star Trek was on, and Star Trek famously was one of the rare examples of a show that accepted unsolicited manuscripts. And so I wrote a couple of Star Trek episodes and sent it in. Nothing got made ever, but it was one of those things that gave me hope. And I had always, I think about how amazing it would have been if they had taken one of my ideas and decided to make it. And as a fan, that potential is amazing. So I'm actively looking at ways to engage fans. And like I said, my idea to do radio plays would be to actually have fan written scripts that we would buy and produce professionally with professional actors and sound design and have those be available, you know, for people to download. So it'd be at least a way for people who are out there who are writers but have no real outlet to have someone see and read and hear their stuff.
Well, I mean, it's interesting that you said. I remember Xena actually, when Xena Warrior Princess was on, they actually hired a fan fiction writer to write several scripts that they then bought and produced within the context of the show.
Brilliant. See?
And that's brilliant. You know, I mean, that's something that you just don't see. So it is important.
No, I agree. And if there's anything that the Inspector Spacetime phenomenon has proven, it's that the amount of creativity that exists on the internet, this kind of untapped potential, is extraordinary. So so I think it's out there, and people are like I was before I moved to LA and got started on my career. They have no outlet. So giving them that is something that is a big motivation for me.
So how important do you think it is that you are a fan like all the other fans, that you are, like you categorize yourself, a big nerd, which we all are? How important do you think that is in creating and the phenomena that is becoming Untitled?
Oh, well, I think like you said, if I wasn't, then I don't think that it would have happened at all. I think it would have all existed on the internet for, you know, for a few months and then kind of petered out and as people moved on to something else. But I can't imagine anybody not, you know, someone who is not into this world or this kind of this kind of fandom. You know, we get it, we understand it. And for me, like when I go to conventions and I mingle with the fans, and you know, it's surreal to me to be the reason that people are excited when I'm there being excited about something else, or even, you know, I'm excited about Inspector Spacetime. It thrills me. So, yeah, that doesn't really answer your question.
But no, it does. It does. And how important do you think the link to Doctor Who is, or is it not at all? Has Inspector Spacetime become something all on its own, and then, of course, Untitled being something completely, again, all on its own? The tie-in to Doctor Who becomes, as you move further and further away from it, it becomes less of a parody and more of an homage or a nod.
Right, and that's what we dealt with really early on. Using the word parody is almost is a shorthand, and it's really, we use that word because it's simpler. But, yeah, we early on really were set on the idea of making the Inspector his own thing. And so we certainly are aware of everything that's going on in Doctor Who, but the thing that, you know, when we look at the parallels between the two, I'm very conscious about making smart parody decisions versus the example I give is, if you look at a movie like Airplane, that's a parody movie, but it's not a one,
right,
you know, of any other movie. But you look at a movie like Epic Movie, which is just taking famous scenes and twisting them, one is obviously superior to the other. And so we are looking at more of an Airplane mode of making comedy than making an Epic Movie mode. So we're not going to look, you know, instead of making the Inspector's booth smaller on the inside, which is just kind of a simple thing. And then fans actually, you know, that was the initial thing, but I pushed for a little more creativity when I was engaged with fans on the pro boards. And finally, they came up with the idea that the booth is always slightly too small for however many people are inside. So it number of people, but it's always just slightly too small for them. And I love that. That's brilliant. And there's a reason for it, because it fosters really close friendships. The friendships that are formed in the booth are the literally closest that you'll ever.
Of course.
So those kind of things are the things I love. And we really have some exciting things planned, like the comic book that Eric wrote. And it was not that we had kind of just talked about it, and then he went, this is something he does.
Please tell us about it.
Well, the first issue is a Boyishly Extraordinary origin story, which is extremely exciting. And the things that we do in the comic are things that we couldn't possibly do on a show, which is exactly what comic books are good for. So we're looking at hopefully doing a series. And so I'd like to look at other elements of the Inspector universe and kind of expanding those. And then we'll have the show as well. And possibly, like I said, a radio show or something else, some other outlet. There's so much potential in this universe that we can take advantage of. So
now you were talking about the airplane type parody. That's certainly a more difficult type of parody to get right. The epic movie stuff is fairly easy because, like you said, you're just taking a scene and kind of switching it out and changing it.
Yeah.
Whereas the other, you know, to do satire or parody is very, very difficult to get it right. And you've been able to get it right. What do you attribute that to? The inclusion of the fans or the fact that you are a fan, or is there something deeper at work? What do you attribute that to?
Gosh, I don't know. I've been a comedy guy for so long, and I think I just have a sense, you know, and there's a thing, comedy is so subjective. Not everybody likes what I do. So, and there's stuff out there that I don't like that is extraordinarily successful. So I have a point of view, and I feel like it's been honed through years of writing and performing. I spent a number of years at the Acme Comedy Theater in Hollywood doing sketch and improv, and so you learn what works and what doesn't. So,
well, it is purely subjective too. I mean, what works, like you said, it's different with everybody.
Oh, yeah.
When you start getting into British humor and an iconic sci-fi show. But somebody just said something in the chat room that's really interesting. It really was a small single scene kind of idea that's jumped out of Community, and it's become a major project for you.
Oh, yeah.
Did you expect that?
Yes and no. I am definitely one of those people who takes advantage of opportunities as they come. You know, they say there's an old adage that says success is luck mixed with preparedness. And I was extraordinarily lucky and fortunate to be cast in Community, but also I was prepared to expand on that. You know, it was just the perfect synergy of what I do well, which is web series and sci-fi and comedy, and this opportunity that I was given. So I still, you know, I always wished that that NBC and Sony had kind of wanted to do more with the Inspector Spacetime world, because I think, I mean, fans were literally demanding more, but also merchandise. They've left it to fans to create all the merchandise, posters and TV, T-shirts and iPhone cases and all that. So, I forgot the original question.
Did you expect this to be as big as it is, to expand and become as big and is becoming?
I thought it was going to be, you know, big. I didn't realize it was going to be huge. I didn't realize it would be as huge as it is. And so my hope is that we can actually foster this universe and create this kind of, you know, and not create, but really develop this fan-created universe. And I think it's something that the world has never really seen before on this scale. So it's very exciting to be part of it.
It is exciting, and I don't think we have seen it on the scale. Now, you've done a number of web series, and I wanted to, in the little bit of time we have left, and I hope you'll come back when you launch season two.
Oh, yeah.
Within the web series space, comedy seems to have a little bit better foothold with a broad audience than drama does. Do you think that there's a reason for that, or is it just because it's shorter, or do you think that scripted content, be it comedy or drama, is starting to get a larger foothold in this space and will continue to?
I think that, you know, I'm a big fan of comedy in general, and But people love to laugh, you know, and right now the world is kind of a messed up place. And we have this worldwide economic recession, everything's hard for a lot of people. And comedy helps us escape from our lives a little bit. And it's easier to do because comedy relies on performance and writing, right? Whereas drama, you do need to have tone to a much greater degree, I think. So it has to be filmed well. It has to sound perfect. You have to have all this extra stuff. Whereas comedy, you can create, I think, on a lower budget. And so that's, I believe, a big reason why it lends itself to the web space a little bit more. But it's also easier to just sit down and laugh for a couple minutes, whereas to do a drama, you need to kind of be invested. You need to sit down for like an hour-long TV show or something.
Now, as that changes, do you think we're going to see more involvement? I mean, we're obviously seeing a lot more involvement in the space from larger networks and larger shows. But you've been in the space for a while. You've done a number of things. What do you see that's changed in the last couple of years, and what do you anticipate changing in the next five?
On a grander scale, or just
within the web series space, grand or non-grand, whatever jumps into your mind first.
I think that first of all, they're anticipating humongous growth in the number of web series that are being made, and I think that's simply a matter of the cost coming down so much that people in you can be anywhere. You don't have to be in LA or New York or a media mecca. You can be in the middle of Wisconsin and do a web series, and as long as it's good, people can watch it all over the world. And I think that's going to be a big trend, is people developing very kind of specific audiences for their work. And but I think that, unfortunately, there are some things that people don't realize, is that when they look at the success we've had with Untitled, they don't realize necessarily that I've been doing scripted content since 2009. And even before that, I was producing YouTube shows and podcasts, and so I've been at this for a long time. And people kind of expect to be able to jump in and be successful right away. And that's not necessarily I hope that people don't get too discouraged if they don't get successful immediately.
Do you think the fan interaction is what makes this space special? I mean, that's what I believe makes the space special, and what makes those people like you and like many other creators who've been doing it for a long time and who understand that better at it maybe than some of the networks or other people that are coming into it. Do you think it is the fan interaction that makes it special?
I think that is a huge element of it, absolutely. And I think that it's something that will continue to differentiate web television from traditional television, is that degree of interactivity. Now, it's interesting, though, because I see that people are often trying to do something different on the web. And with the amount, you know, for instance, with the choose-your-own-adventure type stories. And I don't necessarily think that it has to be that. Like, we still want to see good content that necessarily, and I don't think the fans necessarily have to engage in the moment as they're watching, but yes, you're absolutely right in that the really engaging with the fans on a kind of a extra way, like, you know, outside of the actual content itself, is definitely very important.
How often do you interact with the fans? I mean, do you go on the YouTube channel? Do you go and read what their comments are and get involved in the feedback? I know you're involved in the forums, and that's very, very important.
Yeah.
How often do you do that? How often do you respond to them and really engage?
Every day. I'm on the Facebook page, which is the Untitled, facebook.com/untitledwebseries. People message me and I respond to those, and I look at the YouTube comments. YouTube's new redesign makes it a lot harder to find comments, which is...
It totally does.
Weird. That's the one thing I really don't like about that. But I do go through and look at the comments, and I see every single comment. And if it's something that warrants a reply, I will reply. Justin, I don't know how to get into the chat room, but I'm looking. So if you ask something, I can see it.
Ask away, Justin Marchert. I know a lot of the creators that are in the room are fans of Untitled, and we get asked about it all the time, and we've talked about it quite a bit. Because, I mean, there was that whole mild kerfuffle with NBC when you were moving forward with it with a different title. And we were very closely watching how you navigated that, because it is, other fans have tried to make fan stuff and not done it or continue to do it and have problems. So it was interesting to watch how you navigated that and changed things in order to keep your project alive. Were you ever worried that you weren't going to be able to do it?
No. I mean, I did a lot of research before we ever struck out with the idea of doing it on our own. So I was, you know, I basically did a little mini law course in copyright law, and I had a couple lawyers that I was talking to, and so I was pretty sure that we were going to be okay. And frankly, I did have the idea of changing the name as a back pocket, like just in case type of idea. And all we did, you know, all that happened was, it was just one phone call from a Sony lawyer. It wasn't a cease and desist. Nothing official ever happened. It was just one phone call. But I just didn't want to fight at all. So, if I didn't have their explicit support, I didn't want to, I didn't want to rub anybody the wrong way.
And in the end, changing the title, I think, was brilliant. Anyway.
Yeah, well, it turns out well. And personally, I love the new look for the Inspector, much better than what they call the Classic 11th, or what I call the Classic 11th. So, you know, I think his new look is very it's cool and sci-fi-y, and the coat was built by a lady by the name of Becky Jordan, and she's amazing. Having those things and having the optic pocket knife all leads to a much richer universe, I think.
I have to say, I love the optic pocket knife, and I want one.
Cool. Well, we are looking at launching a Kickstarter campaign to make replicas for people. So yeah, we're working on that.
Because that's pretty awesome.
I would love to. I've been exchanging a few emails with ThinkGeek, and I would love for them to be able to carry the optic pocket knife for people. I think that'd be brilliant.
That would be brilliant. You do such a good job as the Inspector, I have to say. You have this kind of perfect mix of seriousness and sarcasm that fits very, very well with this kind of character. And it's always impressive to watch, even if I don't get the jokes or even if I'm tired or whatever, I always am able to get a chuckle out of you in the way that you play the character. So I wanted you to know that.
Well, again, what we have in store for season two takes that to a whole new level. And it's just, I read the scripts and I'm so excited by it. So I really hope that we can get that done sooner rather than later. But yeah, thank you very much.
So when do you anticipate being able to launch season two? What do you have a target date?
We don't. It's really about funding right now. So we're looking at different options for funding, whether it's sponsorships or possibly doing a Kickstarter campaign. But as I said, I don't think we would be able to have a successful Kickstarter campaign right now, at least to the degree that I think we need in order to make season two what it needs to be. So we're going to start smaller and work our way up from there. And if a company wants to come in and do sponsorships, then I think that will probably be the best way for us to go into the future. So,
I think that is remarkably level-headed, Travis.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's me.
That's you. Well, I'm sorry we had such technical difficulties getting you in. It's been an absolute honor to have you on the show. You are so completely charming that it was a pleasure to interview you, and I hope when you start your fundraising and or you are ready to launch season two that you will come back and talk to us and give us all a preview of what we can expect.
Absolutely. Well, let's plan on that shortly after Gallifrey 1, where I think the fundraising for the prequel episode is going to be very short. I think we're probably going to do a two-week campaign, so it'll be hitting Kickstarter real hard for that.
Okay, absolutely. We will help you promote your Kickstarter, and then you can come on and tell everybody about it when you're ready to go.
I would absolutely love to. And may I say, your interviewing style is actually really nice. You're very good at asking good questions.
Well, that is a big compliment coming from you, and I have to say I'm still a huge fan of Robot Ninja and Gay Guy, and if you're out there and you haven't seen it, you need to go and find it. I put the Facebook in earlier.
I just put some new pictures, actually, filmed a musical episode, and it is slowly but surely being edited along with a...
Awesome.
So we have these three episodes that we're working on, and we still have to shoot the middle one. So I don't want to release them until we can release all three of them, but they're coming.
And I will be watching, and everybody, you know, Justin just said in the chat room, Inspector Forever. So we are huge fans of yours, and we can't wait to see what comes in season two, and we can't wait to have you back on the show.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Travis.
Yeah.
He is a very, very charming guy.
I love his voice.
He does have a great voice.
He should be a guest host.
We should have him guest host as Inspector Space Time.
As Inspector Space Time.
That would be cool.
IST.
It was a good interview, and I wish we could have had him on for a little bit longer.
Right?
Because I don't know what's going on with Blog Talk. Nobody was able to call in.
Right, and I'm sorry that I didn't talk so much, but I'm dying.
And like I said, if you guys have not seen Robot Ninja and Gay Guy,
that's freaking awesome.
It's awesome.
I just posted the link in Facebook.
You need to see it. All of the sitcom tropes are there. It is hilarious. And I'm a huge, huge fan of it.
I didn't mean to be dying. I'm sorry.
You definitely need to go. He was a wonderful interview.
Yes.
And I would have him back any day of the week. And we're sorry that... Helena Santos-Levy could not be with us, but she is going to be joining us as soon as she can. She was not able to join us tonight.
Oh, poops.
But we will have her on the show as soon as is humanly
possible.
We'll
figure it out. We will figure this out.
Next week, we have a new Indie Interviews that's going to be coming up with American Wasteland Entertainment.
Oh, snap.
On February 13th, we have the cast of the series that's going to be coming on. There is more information coming, Justin, about the 2013 Indie InnerTube Award.
Information.
No date has been come up with, but we hope to have a
date. We're looking at March.
We're looking at the beginning of March, and we're hoping to have that date firmed up very, very soon. However, of course, the date chose to be nominated was December 31st, 2012.
December 31st, 11:59:59.
Okay. Guys, thank you for hanging in with the technical difficulties tonight. We appreciate it more than you know, because without you guys, there is no us. And we really wanted to hang in.
Somebody
so
needs
we
to
could
tell my throat.
To Travis, because Travis, he's somebody we wanted to have on the show, and we scheduled when we were in Vegas with doing the
Yes.
Please join us on Sunday when we will be showing you the new Ragged Isle trailer, the new Out with Dad trailer.
And Slumber Sleepover Party Con.
Yep, Slumber Con. We are going to have a lot of killer trailers and a lot of new information for you about both Indie Interstate and the Indie InnerTube Awards.
Yes.
So we will see you guys on Sunday.
Yeah, we will. Sick or dead or alive.
Until then, get out there and share some shows. Go watch Inspector, go watch Untitled Web Series. And go watch Robot Ninja and Gay Guy, and we will see you guys on Sunday.
Woo!
This is Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast and live-hosted web series on the Citadel.
That's right.
Go take it. The internet. It's not something that you just dump something on. It's a series of tools.